Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul, in the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign, but to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee, and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign, but to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. I am the light within your soul, in the essence of truth and right, love makes a circle whole. And when I call to thee, and come on bending knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat
Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Thank you for joining me here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols George, and I'm your hostess this evening. The music you were listening to at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence. It's by Shemshai. And I just want to say welcome, whether you're joining us for the first time or whether you're returning. I'm looking in our chat room and I'm seeing Romy out there, Romilia. And it's great to see her back in here again. So it's great to have her joining us from Tucson, I think she said. She's down in the Tucson area tonight. So it's great to have you here, Romilia. Here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at the different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. Some weeks I will be discussing different aspects of how compassion is in and affects our life and the different areas of compassion. And then some weeks I'm doing more exercises and practical implementations. And many times, especially this year, I've got guests on the show so that you can learn about their work and how other things are complementing and working with compassion. And I'll be highlighting also different musical artists along the way. So this year, for example, I had Jill Mattson on the show, Stephen Halpern, who's a Grammy nominee, Best New Age Artist, Peter Cater, 8-time Grammy nominee. So lots of wonderful people showing up here on the show. And in my own work, I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, which some of you have experienced on previous shows. And if you've missed that, you can catch that in our archives. About a year ago, I was on with Kevin Baird on his show just before I started my series here. And we have a great replay of working with the statement there, so you can always catch that. I've authored two books titled Activating Compassion and also Activating Compassion, the Workbook. And with a little luck in the next couple of weeks here, the next set of books on relationships is going to be out. I'm putting the final touches on it, putting the final cover aspects together, and we'll see. I'm crossing my fingers this time, so really working on that. I'm also have created the Compassion Tour, which is a multi-state nationwide tour, including workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. And I'm working on creating a tour for 2014, which I know is going to start in the Santa Barbara area early March. So that's going to be something to follow up on. And you can follow any of the events that are on the tour or live events through my event site at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And there's also an option there called gifting the tour for those people that are unable to attend any of the events but would like to maybe support the work I'm doing or help me get out to those fundraisers. So just a reminder, if you do enjoy the show this evening, make sure that you tell your friends and family and all the social media buddies that you've made out there, significant others, anybody that you feel compelled to share it with, because oftentimes I find that, you know, when we're listening to something, when we share it, there's a lot of other people in our list out there that are also looking for the same type of information and the same topic, and it could be very useful for them as well. So they can use just the same link that you used to come into the show, and they can listen to it as soon as the show is over in the archives, and it'll be right there. So, and it's really exciting here because one of the things I want to mention is I'm feeling like this is a very special show for me tonight. It's my one-year anniversary of running Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour here on the Main Street Universe Network, and so that's a real blessing and a real exciting for me to be doing that. And my guest tonight is a friend of mine, and we were just discussing before the show that it's been, oh, around 8 years ago in the fall that we met. So it's just a time that's full of anniversaries for me right now, and it's very exciting, so it's great to have him here with us tonight. Now, before I get started into the show, as those of you that have listened before know, I like to delve into the 72 Names of God, which is by Yehuda Berg. And I like to delve in just by randomly opening to a page because I always find that's what I get the most fun and most appropriate messages show up. And so what I do is just focus on, getting a message that we can use for the week, and then this message will be posted on my page of the Main Street Universe tab on my website, which is at jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com, and that's at the bottom of our show description for you as well, so you can see that there. So let's see what the aspect is. And I love working with Yehuda because he takes these big concepts and puts them into everyday language. And that's kind of the way I like to do my work as well. So when we look in here tonight, let's see what we got. And this is going to be really appropriate tonight. Okay. The name of God that we're dealing with tonight is Victory Over Addictions. So this is going to be interesting. And the message that he has here is, did you notice that a bad habit is easier to develop than a good habit? It's easier to develop an addiction to chocolate than to steamed zucchini or daily exercise. Want to make changes that last more than 4 weeks? You've come to the right name. And the message, or the insight, I should say, that goes with this is, the selfish desires of our body were given complete dominance over the aspirations of our souls so that we could earn the light of fulfillment through the challenges that accompany transformation. Consequently, it will always be easier to succumb to reactive, selfish impulses than to act with tolerance and kindness toward others, especially when infuriating people push our buttons all day long. It takes no effort to blindly and mindlessly follow the whims of the ego, but strength and endurance are needed to make the true longings of the soul victorious. However, it's a battle that cannot be won by humans alone. We need the assistance of the light of the Creator if we are to reclaim control over our lives and liberate the power of our souls. Victory is ours for the taking. And then the meditation that he provides with this is to recall any nasty habits or unpleasant character traits that you cannot get rid of. This name ensures your victory over the forces of ego. You are imbued with the emotional power and discipline to triumph over all self-centered impulses and negative desires. So this is really appropriate because as my guest starts to talk about some things tonight, actually, this is a little different perceptive than what we're used to. We're not used to focusing on those nasty habits. We're taught to, you know, everybody says, don't focus on those, right? Be on the positive side. But when we incorporate it with love or we incorporate it with the heart or spirit or creator, then it opens a whole different realm of healing that can truly heal for us. And the way that this name is pronounced for victory over addictions is Pei Hei Lamed. Pei Hei Lamed. And again, that's going to be up on my website. Usually I get that up just after the show, so that whole message will be up there if you'd like to go back and reflect on that. Now, as we start to delve into the topic tonight, I'm going to give you a little bit of insight as far as where we're at tonight with this and kind of where we're headed in our thoughts. Now, do you face and embrace the pain and discomfort that enters your life, or do you find yourself running and hiding from it? How alive and clear are you truly feeling? Are you truly living in joy, confidence, and ease, or are you trying to convince yourself you are there, while in reality having doubts, fears, and discomfort? Embracing pain, suffering, discomfort, and unpleasant circumstances in life can be unsettling, to say the least. For many, it is easier for them to push these things away, run away from them, or simply try to ignore them altogether. However, where does that really get us? Since they are part of our lives, we can't truly run away from them. You can try to stuff them away, like shoving a box into a closet where you don't have to look at it anymore. However, it is still going to be there waiting for you. I find this can lead to it resurfacing at times that may be even harder to deal with. And my experience has been that if I just take care of the challenges in the moment, I'll get through them much quicker and easier than allowing them to fester and grow into something more. Kind of like putting papers away or recording expenses right away. It is done and over with. However, when we don't do this, a big pile of papers will start to build up and it becomes more and more overwhelming to deal with as time goes on. Now, when looking at such situations and experiences into our life, there is a skill that we can develop where we weave love into it. And when we do this, we allow for true and total healing to happen at the deepest levels. And in this process, we are healing ourselves through connection with spirit. Keith Gregory talks about this very work in what he refers to as heart tantra. It's a dance of healing spiritual energy that weaves love through all situations. And this is a concept of forgiving self and others, becoming grateful for all that you are, which allows for more feeling, receiving, and expression of love. He says that doing this allows us to be delivered to an empowered heart space, here and now. Only here are you alive, and only now can you make the conscious, proactive choices to create positive change in your life. His concept is that in embracing our pain and suffering with love and gratitude, grace is able to flow through us and create a healing every time. I find this to be a really powerful blend of concepts that many look at individually. However, when we bring them all together in this light, we can create true and lasting self-healing. Imagine if you, at the moment of your trauma or pain or discomfort, you stopped and you moved all of your attention to having love and gratitude for that experience. And I find that this can be challenging for people to do, being grateful and loving their suffering, and that can be really confusing for a lot of people. So let's look at this in a different light. What if we were only perceiving the moment that way? What if it was really a blessing because the pain was exiting our life? It is easy to get wrapped up in pain and suffering or trauma being a disaster in our life. And we get in that habit of thinking it's just there to make us miserable. But in reality, we have most likely ignored things along the way, and that is why they became that drastic or created judgments that led these situations to manifest. And oftentimes, these things are happening to help us understand a lesson, to pay attention to what we're doing, and to get connected with spirit. Sometimes it can even be an old pain that is trying to exit our life. So it is trying to clear way for better things, but it has to come out in order for it to do that. So perhaps something irritating comes up and causes you to be delayed in getting to work or even to miss a day of work. We can either be upset over this, which then causes us to harbor the pain, or we can appreciate what did happen or that we didn't have to go in for a day. 9/11 is a great example of that. I mean, imagine all of the people that didn't make it there that day. There was actually a lot to be grateful for. Had they made it there on time or weren't sick, things could have been much worse for them. And we don't always know the bigger picture, so by embracing the love and the gratitude, even when we can't see the whole thing, we can let go of what otherwise would have been stuck within us. So it's kind of like if you sweep all that dirt into a corner and the dirt is not going to go away no matter how long you leave it there, okay? However, when you say, I don't like that, I need to stop and I need to clean up this dirt over there because I love my home when it's clean, and being grateful that you've got a home to clean up. And I'm glad that it has shown itself. You know, I'm glad this dirt came out and showed itself to me. That way I know what I need to clean up in my life, right? If it doesn't show itself, I don't know it's there. So we can't clear away what we don't know is there. And if we leave the dirt there, it's going to keep drawing a lot of negative things into our space. Whereas if we clean it up, we can really enjoy the space. So where have you been pushing away your pain and suffering? And what haven't you dealt with? Are you ready to embrace it with love and gratitude, allowing grace to create real and lasting healing? And what are you doing to weave loving energy into all areas of your life? This week, my guest focuses on a component of compassion that is related to the aspect in my books of blind, deaf, and defensive. This reminds us to be willing to see, hear, and open enough to learn from all situations. When we are willing to do this, we create an automatic connection with spirit that flows through our heart energy. I'm going to take a short break, and when we return, I'm going to have Keith Gregory with us, and he will be sharing his work on the sacred masculine and heart tantra. And the song I have during our break for you tonight is Ten Commandments. It is by Claire Hedin, and you can look up more of her work if you'd like by going to her website at www.clarehedin.com. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Midnight Hour, and my name is Jessie Ann Nichols George, and I'm your hostess this evening. You were just listening to a song by Claire Hedin called Ten Commandments. You can find out more about Claire's work. She was a guest actually with us last year, the very last show of 2012, And you can find out more about her work at www.clarehedin.com. That's C-L-A-R-E-H-E-D-I-N.com. And if you missed that show with her, it was really wonderful. She does some incredible things beyond just music as well, working with nature projects and things like that in the up in the Bay Area of San Francisco. So definitely check out that show. Again, that was the last show of 2012. But tonight, I've got a really wonderful guest on, again, a friend of mine here. So I'd like to bring him on. His name is Keith Gregory. He's an energy artist. He is a clairvoyant, medical intuitive, licensed massage therapist, and advanced energy healer. He has studied and practiced an extensive array of alternative healing and consciousness growth modalities for over 35 years. His work focuses on awakening the sacred masculine. Keith's work is influenced by his own arduous self-healing journey, prayer, meditation, breath-conscious exercises, advanced energy and esoteric healing, yoga. He works in America and travels internationally, teaching an enlightened form of healing and self-awareness called Heart Tantra. Keith offers attunement sessions, awakening the sacred masculine, mixed sex awakening, sacred union trainings, classes in heart tantra healing, conscious connection body work for couples, higher self-alignment meditation, and his ability to work with energy is masterful and unique. And we're looking at his work tonight with awakening the sacred masculine and heart tantra. And you can also learn more about his work at www.hearttantra.com and also at awakenthesacred.blogspot.com. So a couple of great options. Those are both right at the bottom of our show description tonight for you. And I'll get his mic opened up.
Yay! Keith,
welcome. It's so
good to have you. What's up? How are you, Jesse? You're good.
I'm telling
you, are you reading that from a script? Because my golly, you really are good. I had no idea. I mean, I know you're the friend, but not as a professional in this capacity. But thank you for having me on your show. It's a pleasure and an honor. Thank you.
It's such a blessing to have you here. And It's so interesting. We were talking before the show, and I met Keith. We were trying to figure this out. We figured out about 8 years ago, we think around 2005, in the Sedona area, when I was up there taking some workshops in Tantra. And Keith was just this really unique person, I remember, that stood out. I mean, there must have been like 200 people at this thing. And he just really stood out, and we just kind of had this interesting connection that kind of happened there. And I remember it was like, I just felt like there was such a kindred spirit around him.
Indeed.
And it was so beautiful. And I was talking with my mom earlier, actually, and she was going, well, now who's on the show tonight? And so I said, well, this is Keith. And I said, you might remember him. You know, he's a friend of mine from when I used to live in Arizona. And I went up to, I was reflecting on these times. I'd gone up to see you. And one of the things that always sticks out in the mind is one of the times I went to see you was you took me out on a boat. And I thought, man,
indeed,
it was amazing. And I thought, like, this was the amazing, dreamy day of just hanging out on this boat. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, who is this guy that's like, you know, should I be worried about this? Or he's rowing me out into the middle of wherever. But no, I felt it was such a special day. It was such a special day to just hang out on this boat in this quietness on the water and everything.
So much has happened, my golly. I can't even track it, Jesse. I mean, in all of our lives, you know, it's accelerated exponentially. And I'm in the New York City area and upstate New York writing my book. And interestingly enough, my passion is awakening the sacred masculine. But I was contacted by a branding couple who brand and coach people from writing blogs, for instance, to publishing. And we had a brainstorming session there in Connecticut. And the husband of the group asked, who's going to buy this book? What's the demographic? Who are you seeking to reach? And as we bounce it back and forth, we realize that the buying group is women, primarily 35 to 55, that we figure that those, as statistics show, most people that are buying New Age or consciousness material are women, by and large, yeah. So we bent it to awaken your sacred, and an adjunct of awakening the sacred masculine, because it's not gender specific. The masculine has been way out of balance on the planet for pretty much all of recorded history, in women as well. And so we're all awakening and evolving this very basic, fundamental part of ourselves. So the book is morphed into awakening your sacred, which is more general and more, I think, user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're speaking about compassion and embracing your pain, that was through, again, a pretty, very shamanic life I've had, very shamanic birth chart astrologically, a number of death and rebirths, literally, as well as just going through the eye of the needle a number of times in my life, dark nights that lasted 18 months, two times specifically. And in one of these passages, I was living actually in Big Sur, and I was on my knees praying outside in the rain, and I asked the Divine Mother, I said, what is it that you need from me to heal my pain? Do you need me to love you more? And she says, no. She said, I have your love, I am your love always. I said, what's the secret? What can I do? She says, you must give me your pain and your suffering, but you have to give it to me as a gift. You have to give it to me as a blessing, which I had never heard before. And she said, the only way you can bless something is to hold it in your heart first. And it trickled through that all healing happens in and through your open heart space. All healing comes from source as a force of love, not an emotion. And only what you hold in your heart space can you heal. And paradoxically and conversely, only what you hold in your heart can you let go of. And in keeping with that, of course, what you resist persists. So it's a very empowered way of loving at all cost, of embracing at all cost. And that, for me, has made a difference in my life. Because speaking of addiction, I was a fetal alcohol child, and bless my mother's heart, I was drinking highballs in utero at 5 o'clock every day. And I believe that we pick our parents, our primary caregivers, to outpicture our core spiritual lessons. And addiction has been one of them in my life. And of her three children, my two brothers, I was the one that inherited this blessing. And consequently, and I believe this with all of my heart, that compassion you cannot learn on a weekend workshop or a really good book. You got to learn it in the trenches, in healing and loving your own pain, and that gives a depth of empathy that I think is necessary.
You bring up a good point with that, because, you know, even when you've got a great book, I mean, I'm probably biased because they're my books, but, you know, even with a great book on compassion and how to do it, you know, you've still got to take it and do that implementation. You've still got to take the journey with it. You've still got to step into it. And that extends beyond a weekend. It extends beyond reading the book.
You know, it's like forgiveness isn't an act. It's a state of being. And compassion isn't a singular moment. It's a quality in your life, in your heart, that permeates. And God, if I'd only gotten your book about 35 years ago or 40 years ago, Jesse, would have made all the difference. But I don't know what it's taken for you to get to where you are, but it's different than selling shoes or serving food. When you step to the forefront in this kind of work, in consciousness work, you have to be the work. You have to embody it. It's not just by rote. It's not just by a script. You have to have already done whatever it's taken to embody it. And for me, it's been worth every breath, but my golly, it's also been really difficult. But that's the price to pay, and it's worth it, to be sure.
It really is, and I think that I'm looking forward to your ebook coming out, because I think that that's going to be an amazing accumulation of insight and journeys. And you know, people sometimes look at me and they say, well, you came from a pretty good family, and I won't knock the family life that I had. I was blessed in a lot of ways, but it doesn't mean that I haven't had a lot of challenges, some dark nights along the way, some real rough times in my life that would be equivalent to, you know, things that you went through or other things. And it's not about comparing, because, you know, what's challenging for me might be challenging for you and vice versa. And you're kind of like myself in the way that you bring this very eclectic realm of experiences to the table. It's not like you can put everything that you do into words. It's an experience. And your work, I think also, I notice it with my work, and it's one of the things I'm hoping to bring back out into the open again, is that people need to attend some of these workshops and get these experiences where they can fully focus on on that experience, as opposed to listening to something online. And I understand the convenience of online stuff, but as opposed to online where they're multitasking and doing three or four things at the same time.
Well, you know, you have to immerse yourself. And there's a transmission that almost is necessary in the body-to-body close connection that transmits the frequency or to grok the experience. I think you have to be in someone's company. As you say, and it's easy to get distracted and to multitask online, but you know, you have to sit in the field with someone who's already done the work, and it comes across much more dynamically when it's done that way.
I agree. Let's delve some into this topic of yours. Of, you know, what is the sacred masculine all about? Because as you mentioned, this isn't just about men, this is about women as well. And this is, I think, an important message that's coming up in these times, especially as we're starting to see more of the matriarchal taking charge again on a universal level. We're seeing this shift from patriarchal society to matriarchal society. So I think this is an important thing for women to not jump too much into the rebound from what we've had, and that they go into it consciously.
It's funny, you know, I used to live in Sedona, where you and I had met, and had moved there in 96 to go to healing school, and the goddess movement was really in full bloom then, and I was in relationship with a woman who was prominent in the community in Sedona, and like a lot of men, we're really slow to wake up. We're really stupid. It's true. Slow. And women are on the front end of the curve, front end of the wave. And it's not so much that I honestly believe that we're coming into a matriarchal. I think we're coming into sacred union. I think it's the balance point to the masculine and the feminine. And it's not that I was a soft New Age male and I wasn't effeminate. I was. And I truly believe, and this is to my credit, except for the man that I studied with, Robert Jaffe, Ibrahim Jaffe, MD, at the School of Energy Mastery in Sedona. All of my teachers, all of my mentors were strong, conscious women, to a one. And I believe that men need, in order to awaken their conscious feminine, they need conscious women to outpicture and to show them what it is. So I was in that serving the goddess mode, and it was a necessary step, and I realized that I really wasn't embodying my masculinity. I was almost a wannabe, trying to serve the goddess, and what I realized is that you got to be who you are as best you can be. And as I began to study the sacred masculine, it came down to reestablishing honor, respect, and integrity. And interestingly enough, these are parallel qualities to the Arthurian legends, the Knight of the Round Table. It's about honor, and it's about honoring your word and doing what you say and saying what you do, and really anchoring in that field of safety, of strength, and of fluidity, and really being, as a man, so solid in my sovereignty and clear that I'm not looking to be validated, approved of, or loved by anybody. I hold my own authority and my alignment to my God self. To essentially be the wind under the feminine's wings, to create a container so the feminine can relax, be safe, and bloom and blossom and come into her power without threatening mine, because I'm holding mine regardless. And so it is about respect and honor and integrity and a quality of impeccability that has been so absent and so void on this planet. And it's, unless men get it, and women as well, we're not going to keep living on this planet. I mean, we're down to the last straws. I think we all know that we're in the end game, and there is divine intervention, of course, happening, I believe is going to pull us through, but it's the divine in ourselves that we align with and embody that's going to raise the vibration of ourselves and the planet. But it's about honor, Jesse. It's about integrity. Bottom line.
That really is, I think, a huge thing. And I really love how you honed in that this shift is really about a time of sacred union and not a dominant rule of one or the other anymore. And that is where we're going to be able to move forward in the way that we are in sacred union, whether we're talking sacred union with another person or sacred union within ourselves, because this is something I get into in the books that are just about ready to be released on relationships, is that we all take on these masculine and feminine roles.
Indeed.
And we're alternating. You know, one situation we might be of masculine energy, and another situation we might be of feminine energy, and this might shift at a different time in our life, and so on. But the key in it, as you say, comes down to this honor, this respect, and this integrity. And if we're giving that to ourselves and others, then those different energies, the masculine and the feminine, can work harmoniously together. They can find that blossoming. They can find that harmony that so many of us are really craving and seeking.
Yeah.
And have felt lost.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, it's, you know, you speak of relationship, and everybody's looking for the soulmate or the twin flame to complement. And I have realized, and of course this is at this point pretty standard and rule of thumb, is that I can only create outside what I've already created inside. In fact, everything outside is a reflection of what's happening inside. So the dance isn't to find it outside, of course. It's to build it and create it and nurture it and develop it inside. So as a pretty strong masculine kind of presence growing up. And thankfully, by the grace of Beloved, I was brought into circles and communities and groups where I was mentored and taken under the wing of women who showed me how to listen, how to be receptive, and most important, how to feel safe in the void, how to trust, not knowing what was going to happen, but knowing that to the degree that I was safe in not knowing the outcome in my favor, or to the highest and greatest degree, had a much higher likelihood of happening if I wasn't in fear, if I wasn't trying to control it, if I wasn't trying to bulldoze my way through, as the masculine, in my understanding, has tended to do, but to trust and to allow. And I've worked with groups, I've worked with men, when they ask, well, what are feminine qualities? You know, it's not flouncing around in a gown. It's listening. It's being generous in my listening. It's allowing and trusting. And there's a magic that happens there, because grace can only come into the moment if I'm not pushing through the moment. And that has really made all the difference in my life, in my relationships, as well as my relationship to myself in my life, is really trusting that all is well if I just allow. And that doesn't abdicate involvement or being action-oriented. It's a mystery, and it's really a marvelous, it's hard to define, but I know what it feels like to embody it, and it's delicious, really.
And you bring up some very interesting points where there are these mistaken concepts, I think, or confused concepts of masculine and feminine energies and what they're all about. And I think so many men in particular are afraid of becoming too feminine. But when you phrase it the way you're talking about it, that it's about listening, that it's about being receptive. And I hear so many times, for example, men say, well, I just don't know what she wants. I just don't get it. You know? Well,
shut up and listen.
Listened,
really?
Yeah.
Really?
They shut up and listen for a little bit. They would hear what was being said. And granted, there are these coded languages that go on, and hopefully I'm going to break some of that down with some of the work I'm doing now, but it does come back to this listening. And likewise, there's a lot of women who aren't listening, because if they really listened to the men, they would also hear a lot of things and they would understand a lot more.
Yeah, indeed. You know, this is pretty typical, but and for you and me and people who are in this field or doing this work, it is. But for a lot of people, it's brand new or it's unheard. But and I've been called on it. That's the thing of mentoring. And you're speaking of doing workshops where you're in the company and in the container with a group. But I've heard so many women say in the course of my life, don't try and fix me. I don't want a solution. I don't want an answer. I just want to be heard. And when I did that, within a half hour, an hour, it's like it just blew through. It was not there anymore. It's just, we just want to be heard. That's the most important thing. So, yeah.
And it's, I actually bring that very point up, that
I'm
very
sure.
thing, in this next set of books, that women just want to be heard. But likewise, I think for women to embrace some of this energy, they need to vocalize more. instead of sitting there and expecting somebody to read their mind, they need to step into that sacred masculine aspect and vocalize what they need.
Or own their voice.
Own their voice.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just, you know, thinking that really we don't state things enough. We sit there and go, why is she irritating me or why is he irritating me? And yet nobody said anything.
We live in the loop in our heads. We're carrying on conversations and relationships in our lives, really not that connected to the people or the situations outside of us. We've kind of gotten lost in our private Idahos in our heads and don't express and don't haven't learned compassionate conversation or communication or just these basic structures that allow energy to move. And speaking in a responsive as opposed to reactive is really important. I mean, how many times have you been blown up on from somebody, and it just blows you? There's no desire to connect with someone after you've been yelled at, basically.
That's really true. And yeah, nobody wants to deal with the major reaction phases, and that definitely takes some practice to get past, I think, but it's a whole different space of communicating. Of you really can feel it in that heart space, I think, when you get to that point where you are responding and not reacting, you realize that you actually have a sense of, for lack of better terminology, control of the situation, because you're not trying to control it.
And, you know, I think we just have to learn how to be human again and have to unlearn, or rather just learn the ways that allow energy to move. And as a man, for instance, I've learned that I have to take care of my energy first. I have to attend to it. I have to own it. I have to be responsible to it before. And that's the thing, is I've always, up until now, I've always looked for the world to do it for me. I've always looked for the world and people in it to hold my pain or to attend to the places that's my responsibility to be the adult to, my inner child. This is what I hold, and only I hold, to create not just sacred union, but safety inside of Keith. So if I need to go for a run, in the old days it was hitting a pillow or, you know, hitting a tree with a baseball bat or whatever. But if I'm feeling frustrated, it's my responsibility to attend to that, to move it consciously so it doesn't not just impact me, but impact anyone else in my life. And I think that's a basic premise that most people haven't ever learned or incorporated in their lives, that they have to be their own go-to guy or gal. And it's self-mastery, really, and it's self-empowerment. Because when I create equanimity in myself, and the way I've turned this, attending to my constitutionals, and that's one of the things I'm writing about, the constitutionals for me are the three or four or five things that I have to do for Keith on a daily or weekly basis that meet my basic core needs, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And I've identified what they are, and I do them like I brush my teeth or I go to the toilet in the morning or whatever those basic self-care practices are. If I go for a run or go for a swim or go for a bike ride, I clean my energy field, I relax, I feel invigorated, and it allows me to be present in my day and my life. I have to meditate every morning. I have to stretch. I have to do these basic, simple constitutionals that allow me to be present in the world is clear and clean in my, and how I feel in my body, and it's a lot easier to be happy when I'm doing the things that make me happy, instead of asking you or needing you or the martini or the joint or whatever to do that for me. And I think it's just a whole different way of being self-responsible and self-empowered, Jesse, that I must have missed that class in grade school, for instance. It was never taught. We were never taught how to tend to our feelings or how to conflict resolve, how to listen, and these just basic ways to create connectivity first in ourselves and then in our world, but it has to happen inside of oneself first.
And this is a great way for people to start to work with this sacred masculine energy. The constitutionals I love, and people forget this, that we really, you know, they know the concept, but I don't think enough people put it into motion. And I can only hope that at some point we start to move more into how to deal with our emotions and how to, you know, face these things at a younger age, and that they make that part of a school curriculum, because it would be a much more valuable school or, you know, learning experience than some of the other things that are taught right now. But and I think in some ways men overall are easier. It's easier for them to lay down those boundaries and say, I'm going to take care of myself first, whereas women tend to oftentimes get into that pattern of easily giving themselves over, making sacrifices to please the man in their life or to meet the relationship or this or that. And just the thought, if everybody honored their constitutionals every day before they started their day, and they stopped and they took care of themselves first, and then they went into their day, I mean, it's amazing
they'd
to think.
They'd be present for their life. They'd be present for what has to happen in the course of their day, because they'd already met their basic needs. And you're right, women who turn it over, or has traditionally been the case that they serve the man and they're, you know, second-hand citizens, second-class citizens, that's a disempowered masculine. Excuse me. That's not a developed, conscious masculine any more than a man who is too far to the other side, where he's dominant, he's controlling, he's combative, or what have you. We all got to get this one right. And the feminine is also, I mean, it's, you know, the heart is a necessary component, as is the mind. Spirit is a necessary component, as is the body. And it's just a way of delineating what are the basic requirements and needs of these separate, apparent, separate parts of ourselves. And as we meet them, and it's not a long list, it's just what makes your body feel good that you have to do on a daily basis. So your body's not dragging, or it doesn't get sick, or it doesn't, it's not detrimental. Yeah, and it covers all the bases emotionally. What do you have to do to emotionally be clear, to be healthy, to be responsive as opposed to reactive? Same thing with your mind, same thing with your spiritual aspect. So there's so much that we just have to learn how to be just ourselves. Isn't that the truth?
It comes back to learning how to be us, but better.
Right. That's so true. I had a friend say, if you just weren't yourself, you'd be great. And I said, huh? And then he said, you need to go to a personality detox, which I thought was very funny. And it's a dear friend of mine. And my golly, I mean, I've as we all have, I've learned to do what I want to do, Jesse, from having done things I never want to do again. And it's been a process of elimination that's gotten me this far. And I've had a number of lifetimes of very, very, I started meditating when I was 13. I had a soul merge where I was just bathed in light. And it's like I spent the next 40 years trying to forget that. interestingly enough, because my ego personality knew that it was doomed, that this experience was so divine that my personality tried to outrun it. And I was a bartender in New York City. I was a lounge lizard. I was so deep in the nightlife. It's amazing that I'm alive. I mean, it really is a testament to grace. I mean, I did enough drugs to buy South America through the 80s. And I learned what really sorrow and suffering is to the core. I know what addiction is and hopelessness. And, you know, we all have to claim ourselves home. We all have to lay it down before the feet of the beloved. And when you were talking about earlier about compassion and how to move through judgment, I just keep coming back to breathing and feeling my heart space, feeling my lungs fill with life force, and just releasing the reins of my relationships to spirit, releasing the reins of my struggle, releasing the reins of my trauma drama, of letting it go. That's that let go, let God thing. You know, I can't do it alone. I'm not supposed to do it alone. And I think of this gorgeous visualization. I think of a pyramid, and we're the apex point, but the pyramid is inverted. So it's the base, the pyramid is the divine, and we're the teeny, teeny point at the bottom. But everything else is also us, above us, that most people just have no relationship with. They don't call it in. They don't demand and command for spirit to fill itself as us, as human beings. And I think that's, you know, that's part of the sacred ceremony, and what I've learned in my work is that we have infinite support, but we just don't ask for it, and we don't turn our pain over to it enough.
That's so true. You know, I think we try to tackle it all and handle it all ourselves. And it comes back to the point you were making earlier of men needing to listen.
Oh.
And all of us needing to listen and respond. And when we're turning this pain over, we're listening by acknowledging it exists. And then we're just letting it move through. We're letting it go. We're not trying to fix it. We're just listening.
Yeah, right.
And then it can be released. And that's kind of that process. And then the divine can take it over, and it can fill us, and it can deal with it, and it's got great uses for that pain. And it's not even pain anymore. It's not even an issue anymore once we acknowledge that it's there.
Right, right. And, you know, I've looked at the place in myself, Jesse, where I needed the pain to keep my story alive. I needed the pain so I could feel sorry for myself, or I could feel alone or put upon or angry or whatever the trauma drama that kept my story as a man, as a human, as Keith, intact. And it's kind of interesting story. Supposedly that the camels in the Middle East, they're so thirsty, they come upon this particular plant that's a thorn, and they lick this thorn, and they're drinking in fluid. They're moist, their mouth is moist, and they think they're drinking water when they're drinking their own blood, that this thorn is cutting their mouth. And we regurgitate our pain just so we can keep ourselves feeling painful. It's really amazing what we do to ourselves to separate from source, and eventually it's like I see this with so many people, and certainly myself. The only thing that turned my gaze to the divine was when I just had nowhere else to look. I had gone through every possible scenario that painted myself in a corner, that all I could do was say, help, you know, please. And that humility is what opens the door. It's just, yeah, so.
And I would say that humility is a great way of, to where we balance our masculine and our feminine energy.
Good point.
And, you know, because you're, you just simply become open.
Because you have no choice. And I think, you know, breakthrough comes after breakdown in many respects in the third dimension. And having a real stubborn, gnarly ego, I know what it's taken for me to let go when I... And the universe is so sneaky. It always exhibits just a little more pressure than my grasp can hold. It always is, and thankfully, I've been so blessed. I'm so fortunate. I'm not in a critical care hospital. I'm not in Afghanistan eating sand. You know, I'm healthy. I'm strong. So I have nothing to complain about. And so many people suffer so much more than I have. But I've done my share in my way to be sure, to have earned my right to say thank you. And part of the Heart Tantra model is the power of gratitude. And you spoke of that at the top of the show. What you're grateful for is no longer painful. It's difficult, but it creates a blessing. To be grateful for something turns it around. And that, for me, I think is one thing that, as much as anything that I've learned, to spend time every day thinking about, feeling, recognizing what I'm grateful for. Because the secret is, the more I'm grateful in life, the more life gives me things to be grateful for. The more I've been pissed off and angry, the more life has given me things to be pissed off about. And it's amazing how self-perpetuating all this is. But as masters that we are, we either create, we all always create outside what we're creating inside. So my vote is for gratitude.
Absolutely. And I mean, I remember you doing that, and I didn't even realize how hard times were for you when you were in Arizona and I knew you, which you shared with me later in just recent times. And, you know, I never thought about it because you came from this space of gratitude, and I would show up and you were just, I'm so grateful you're here. And you
approached... You're a beautiful woman. You're a beautiful woman, Jess. I mean, you'd have to be blind and dead not to see this and feel this in you. So, I mean, it was easy with you, really.
But it's, I mean, I saw you with this appreciation with so many. And, I mean, there were so many things that I learned just by watching you, I have to say. Things that I had no idea I was learning at the time. But I'm very grateful for now because I definitely understand them at this point.
I want to spin this moment for a second. You shared something with me that I didn't remember. We went out together and I made you pay for the bill or something. Do you remember that? I want to just kind of laugh at myself. I don't remember what.
You came
Phoenix,
down to
no?
see me in the Phoenix area. And we were going out to dinner. And I think it was dinner that we were going out to. They have a fountain in Fountain Hills is where I lived at the time.
Right,
and there's
right.
the world's tallest fountain, actually, shooting fountain.
Right.
And there were some little cafes along there, and we went out there. And I can't remember what it was. I can't remember if you made me – I don't think you made me pay for the whole thing, but you asked me to pay for my share at least.
God,
and
jerk.
And I was like,
What?
I came from this upbringing that my dad raised me very, you know, like men are supposed to be very chivalrous and pay for things and this and that. And I was like such in shock. Like, here's this person that asked me to, you know, go out and they're asking me to pay for my food, you know, and
yeah, well,
people that are in the younger generation, they don't really quite, you know, they've gone Dutch most of the time, but in my generation, it was not the common thing.
Right.
But it really took me back, and I was kind of like, who is this guy? Who does he think he is asking me to dinner and then not paying for dinner?
Oh,
but
my God.
It really woke me up, because then it led to this whole discussion about, you know, really bringing an awareness that just hadn't really clicked in for whatever reason, even as aware as I was at that point, that, you know, hey, Keith had made this whole trip down to see me. He drove here. He made these expenses already. And so it was a real eye-opening event in that sense, a simple little moment like that. It was a big eye-opening event of, wow, I guess we really do expect a lot out of people in these, you know, when we're hung in these traditional roles or judgments without realizing it.
And my preference is, I do believe, I always, physically in my DNA, Jesse, when I walk down the street with a woman, I have to walk to the street side. It's just a way I am a knight. I am actually a high priest and have been knighted in the Order of Tara aside from that. But I do believe in chivalry. I really do. And it's deep in my core. And the reason I brought up this little story is because it's real important that I can laugh at myself. And I can, is it self-depreciating? What's the word? Depreciative? To be able to laugh at myself.
Yeah.
Is that the right term?
Laughing at yourself.
Being self-depreciating or self, yeah. I mean, that's one of the ways that I write, is that it's, and a friend who read my draft said, so many of the spiritual books speak from a lofty, not above it all, but not in the balls of the grind of awakening, of really being a fool and making mistakes and owning it and pulling myself up from my bootstraps and not trying to be better or look good, but just be real. And making mistakes, I would have bought you. If we went out again, I'll pick up your meal. But
you did
really
buy. No, you did pick up enough time. So I have to say that you did actually take me to a very nice dinner in Sedona once, and paid for breakfast when I got up there early in the morning, like before we went out on the boat and things. So you did do that plenty of times.
But you know, I think. There has to be humor as well, and there has to be, you know, we're all in this together, and we're all walking each other home, and we get to heaven through each other's open hearts, but we have to be in our open heart first without needing to look good about it. And just being, you know, we make mistakes, we screw up, owning it is something I found in relationship, and this is a secret to those men out there. If you're not always trying to look good to your mates, it makes you a lot more lovable and a lot more likable when you're not trying to live a show or live an image, and I'm sure it goes for women as well.
Yes.
But to own your mistakes and to apologize is so, so empowering to the man and the woman. If you mess up and it's not, of course, really bad, just say, listen, I'm sorry. I messed up. Please forgive me. And that humility, that empowered humility, is really a compelling, lovely quality to have. Because, you know, I don't want to be right. I just want to be happy. And so, yeah. as safe as I am in myself, is the level that I can create safety with those that I'm with. So here we
Very
are.
Well said.
Yeah.
Now, with Heart Tantra, I'm hoping that maybe you can share a little bit more with us what Heart Tantra is, because you've got a great.
Well,
I love the definition you give of this.
Well, again, so all healing happens in and through the open heart, and it's the energetic heart, not the physical anatomical heart. It's love, compassion, joy, forgiveness, understanding. And Tantra by definition means, as you pointed out earlier, it means to weave. And the heart space that I find through my breath, and there's a whole process that I've learned over the years of expanding my heart space like a balloon to hold and embrace my physical, my emotional, my mental body. And to the degree that I'm present, which is the only place where life takes place, the only place where my body lives at the present moment, the only place where spirit is alive, life lives now. And there's a paradox. It's not that I'm doing anything, but I'm being present in my heart space. And there's a term that the heart chakra is the grand crucible of transformation. The way that I've termed it is that spirit and flesh, heaven and earth, meet in the heart chakra. And if you're familiar with energy anatomy, you have seven major chakras. You have three below the heart, and you have three chakras above the heart. The heart is the center where the verticality of your vertical power current or your chakra system meets the horizontality of the material world. That the cross, along with the spiral and the circle, are the oldest sacred geometry, the oldest symbols of spirit. Maybe a dot as well. But that cross that meets in the heart space, and it's what flows through the heart space, the divine, the grace of heaven flows through the heart, flows through your breath. So I've learned, Jesse, to the degree that I'm present in my body and my heart space is the degree that love is flowing through my field. And a lot of things in relationship, for instance, you don't have to do something different as much as be different first, and then the actions naturally reflect that. But you have to be in your heart space for magic to happen. Is what I found.
Does
that kind of answer your question?
Okay. Yeah, and definitely. I love the aspect that Heart Tantra means love weaving, and that it's really about weaving it through every part of your life right now. And I think that especially as we get stressed and we get separated, we forget how to feel in that heart space.
Yeah.
And that blocks us so much. And as you've mentioned many times in the show, the only way to really get that manifestation, the only way to really take that next step, to really see it in the outer world, is to step into that heart space and really let the heart love what's going on there. Which is such an amazing process. You know, it's interesting you're talking about the chakras, because I'm in the middle, well, not in the middle, but I'm in the process of providing a series of courses, a 14-part course on the chakras, and tomorrow I'm actually doing the one on the heart chakra. So then doing ones on creating and ones on releasing with the heart chakra, and it's very powerful. So I find that, and I was tuning in because on your website, you actually talk a little bit about how to bring that pain into your heart center and how to embrace it. It's almost like a little exercise that you have on there.
Right. Well,
and I'm thinking maybe you want to share that and maybe you want to kind of give us a moment to experience that.
Cool. Well, everything that I do, and I'm sure this is so for all of us, it's a compilation, not just of things that we've accrued and picked up over this lifetime and other lifetimes, but what comes from to intuition and spirit. But one of the pieces that I learned in healing school was that if you connect your breath, say you've got a broken foot, I can't literally breathe through my foot. My lungs don't go down that far. But if I put my breath in the intention of breathing as if the breath is going in and out of the foot, and that the breath, the lungs, located in the chest where the heart chakra is, I'm thereby connecting my heart energy, especially if there's an intention to align with my higher self, to breathe love into and through my broken foot, my foot will definitely heal quicker because love is what heals, the power of love. So it's using the breath to associate it or place it onto not just a physical area that's in pain, but also in an emotional area. And it's a process of putting it into a relationship of focusing, because respiration, the root word, is spirit. Also the root word of inspiration is spirit. Of breathing into and through the area that's tight or in pain or suffering connects the heart energy to that suffering and pain and thereby transforms it more quickly and more powerfully, I found.
And I think it's, for me it's true, because when I was focusing on this, like I said, prior to the show tonight, and I was kind of getting that experience and I was tuning in, I'm going, okay, I'm going to breathe from my diaphragm, but I'm going to focus on the air movement going in and out of this heart chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of playing around a little bit in the sense of going, okay, well, let me take this breath and put it into this situation or
right.
those emotions that I'm feeling or this thought pattern that I'm stuck in. And it was amazing how when I did that, there was such a huge expansion that rolled through me that I thought, that's the feeling that I've been missing. That's the feeling that has been shut down for a little while. And that's what I used to feel when I used to have things in this amazing flow in my life. And, you know, not that they don't flow now, but I mean, there's these points where, you know, when you're younger and you're full of emotions and it just naturally kind of flows through, but you're not as aware to know what to do with it. But
right.
things happen very easily because it's so emotion-powered.
Uh-huh.
And to start to tune in to that emotion power, that love power, as you say, there's such an empowerment that it's so easy to let go. It's so easy to just go, I'm not holding on to anything, man. I'm just
well,
letting
you know,
it all go now.
Right. When we're in fear, afraid, or angry, not just the body locks down and our jaw locks down, but we don't breathe. We freeze. And energy needs to move. And if it doesn't, it backs up and creates all sorts of discomfort and blows circuits and fuses. But just take a breath. Release the perineum. Soften the belly. Release your hands. Release the jaw. And just learn to come back. That's a constitutional. Learn to release the body from holding tension is really an assistive basic life skill to allow energy to move through, because emotion is a fluid quality. It hurts at first. If we're not holding on or resisting or running away, as you say, or putting the dirt in the corner under the rug, metaphorically, it will wave through. It will pass. But breathing really is the fundamental construct that allows that to happen. So, and of course, the breath is in the heart space and the lungs, and it all kind of dovetails. And that's why, for instance, exercise is so. Just take a walk. Just to breathe 20 minutes on a walk or whatever. Doesn't have to be a go for the burn power yoga class. It's just simply breathing deep and smooth and long and loose is amazing. Yeah.
It is, and I encourage everybody to go out and try this technique of going in and kind of just tuning into that breath and then bringing up whatever the pain is, you know, whether that's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is. And take this experience to breathe through the heart and to try it, because it's like things that have been very, very stubborn for years will just seem to just let go in seconds almost.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, that's the sacred ceremony piece, Jesse, of calling in our help, of calling in our guidance, whether it's Jesus or Mary or Kuan Yin or your dead cat or your grandmother, whatever. As long as for your highest and greatest good, spirit will hold dominion. Spirit will hold the bottom line. And it's through the breath. I mean, you can go a few days without eating. You can go a few days without sleeping. You can go a few days without drinking water. But you can't go very long without breathing. And that's the thing, that God gave us the simplest tool and the most powerful tool, which is why our mind can't wrap around it, because it's just too simple. The mind doesn't know for being in the present moment. But your breath only exists in the present moment. And to the degree that you're present is a degree that you're in touch or aligned with spirit. And wonders happen, miracles happen, just by, as we've been talking about, breathing through the emotion. It will transform. It will let go every time. And it's just practicing being present in our heart, calling in our help through our heart space, through our breath, into the place in our lives that's constricting or painful or difficult. And that allows it to, yeah, to disappear, to dissipate. It sounds simple, doesn't it?
Well, you bring a whole new light that is, I think, much more within grasp or easier to understand for people when we talk about, you know, for, I think so many people have heard the phrase, just focus on your breathing, you know, just the power of breath. And yet, I don't think there's a lot of people that bring it into this tangible, understandable aspect like you bring in to it.
You know, I love tools, and I love ways that I can incorporate, things I can incorporate that always work, that are very simple, that are innate and organic to not just my body, but all parts of me. And to realize it's so very simple, not from our mind's point of view, because the mind likes to complicate stuff, but nothing is more basic to us than our breath, which is why it's the doorway to the divine, from my understanding. And I hear that you appreciate it, because I imagine it's also worked in your life. Breathing,
yeah.
Being present, letting go. Bingo. It might not be in 30 seconds. It might not be like, you know, taking one of those magic pills that we used to do in the old days.
But ironically,
I got everything.
It works much faster than many other things. And if you're fully focused on breath, there's no other place you can be, as you say, but present.
Right.
And when you are present, there's nothing else you can experience but total and divine presence.
Right.
And you work with people that are stuck in their fears, afraid to face their pain, and you, I've seen you. I mean, I've seen the results of some of the people you've worked with and heard of them, and the breakthroughs are phenomenal for these people. I mean, we're talking things that, from what I understand and have seen, it breaks through and clears old patterning, for example, from childhood.
Yeah, indeed.
And it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to hit every layer all in one fell swoop, but at least each layer you embrace with this process, then at least you can see the next one and the next one, and you do eventually get it cleared.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love how it works, and I love the simple things, and I love the effective things. And, you know, it's, again, that proverbial peeling the onion, you know, going to the next layer. And it's not that one doesn't meet difficulties or challenges in life, but it's how you meet them that change it from a difficulty to a blessing. And the heart space is the nexus point. It's the pivot point. It's for me in my life, it's what's made all the difference in moving through places that I couldn't do it any other way. And I think the secret is sharing what works and what's been effective in one's own healing. And that's what translates. Because the techniques are great, and I'm really an advocate for training as opposed to having gone to a workshop or, you know, been inspired by someone. It's different, for instance, massage therapy. You know, in any craft, healing is a craft, and there's some God-given talents that are so far ahead of the curve, who've got incredible abilities and all of that. But for a lot of people, you know, you have to learn it as you go. And the irony is that the more I've learned, the simpler it's become, where it's not what I'm doing, it's what I'm aligning with. It's what is flowing through me. And the work I do is based upon our higher selves being in agreement. I never work with someone unless I get a yes and I get an invitation. I'm not working on you, for you, or to you. I'm working with you. And it's truly through me, not from me, that I've come to a place of in what I do is being transparent, because it is thy will that's flowing through. And it's not about the technique, it's about the presence and about being present. And it's about love. It's about seeing the person who's already healed. It's celebrating their healing even as they're dragging their ass in the door. It's knowing that they're not their pain, that they are a radiant being. And like everyone else, we've just forgotten. They've forgotten. And I, not that they could get the picture of the feeling intellectually, but it still translates in the field when I'm holding that sense of fullness in myself, that sense of, it's not radiance, that sense of gratitude, of all that. That's what they feel, and that's what reminds them and what really ignites their healing or ignites their experience, is when I'm just simply reflecting back their beauty, whether they see it or not. And yeah, magic happens that way. Yay!
Yay, so very much Yay. So. And an incredible process. And as you were talking about that, you know, that as you work through training, whether it's your own training from life experiences mm-hmm. or working with people or whatever the case may be, but that you realize the more you step into it, the simpler it is. And I was thinking about how many people call in and it's like, when is this going to happen in my life? And when is this person going to change? And when am I going to get married? And when is this? And blah, 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 blah. And why are they doing this? And why are they doing that? And it's kind of like, yeah, in one sense, I kind of understand the desire to know why, but it doesn't really matter why, because they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
So the question is what are you going to do about it?
Right. How can you use it to your advantage? How can you grow from it? How can you...
Are you going to put up with it, or are you going to leave the situation? Or isn't it more important that you actually find that love out there as opposed to it being with this person or that person or these sorts of things? And it really does come down to this simplicity of, you know, I'm not in tomorrow. You know, it doesn't matter about knowing 3 or 4 months down the line, because it's all going to change anyways.
Right.
From now to then. Mm-hmm. The only thing I have is now.
Over and
I don't get
over again.
Focus on today.
Yeah. You know, speaking of backstory, I went to a really highly rated high school in Chicago, and one of the top prep schools, and both of my parents were PhDs, and I had been in school since I was born and under their tutelage, and I really wanted to be a man, and I had read this book on the Road by Jack Kerouac. Anyway, I decided to hitchhike to Utah, actually, to Zion National Park.
Right in
and
my back.
I know. That's where I know you from. And I don't know where that story was going. Anyway.
Hitchhiking and being on the road. And
oh, my golly, it slipped away. It's a good story, though. It'll come back in a minute. But of needing to be a man or be my own authority or to instead of being told what life was about, to experience it firsthand. And
yeah.
It was overwhelming. I lost 15 pounds in 2 weeks hitchhiking, eating constantly, but my body was just going through such incredible anxiety, really, being alone, being on the road, and all of that. And out of necessity, I had to find a place in myself that wasn't freaking out, because I had stepped so far off the limb and realized I had made a huge mistake, that it was not nearly as romantic or as marvelous as the book that I had read. Jack Kerouac was the prominent author of The Beat Generation. And out of necessity, I've had to find a sanctuary inside of myself. And any time that I've ever been injured, or I've ever been in shock, or I've ever had a strong emotional or physical injury, and nothing so serious to my body, I just found my breath. And I keep coming back to that, because it's the only thing that saved me. It's my only sanctuary. And it really is the basis of my life at this point. And somehow that ties into that story. It'll come back in a second. But anyway, yeah.
But the breath is, it's been a core for you, and it's constantly brought you back from your time in Big Sur, which is a beautiful area. I've spent some time around there. And and then this journey, and just constantly throughout, and it really is. I mean, we know the power of breath on so many levels, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that it is. I mean, we know if we stop and focus on breath, our body will relax. The tensions, the stresses, and everything will go away. You know, they will settle down. And it's an amazing process. And you've got so many stories and so many journeys that you've taken in your life that are, I think, very relatable for people, because whether they've had it to the same intensity level or not, or more so, they can relate to the feelings and the experiences and the things that you've gone through, the journeys that you've taken. And I feel like that's part of what feeds into your work and part of what makes it powerful. And this is one of those things where I've tried to explain it, as you mentioned before, to people that no matter how much you take this course, you've still got to get that experience. And it's the people that have these experiences, you know, they may not have always gotten a PhD or something else. Some of them have, some of them haven't. But it's the people that really have these experiences that you're going to be able to really learn from. And you're going to be able to grasp some amazing things that are going to help you in your life. And I want to take an opportunity, as we're kind of wrapping up here with you, Keith, to just mention you've got a variety of services that you offer. You have advanced energy healing, esoteric healing, sacred circle gatherings, workshops, courses. Of course, your ebook is in the process, and we definitely want to stay informed on when that's coming out, because I'm sure it's going to be amazing. Anything that you have coming up or available soon? I know that you're available for people to contact, and you'll travel all over the world, because I remember getting a message once from you going, "Well, I'm living in Spain now," you know, or wherever it was that you were.
Ibiza. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it was great. I was like, yes, that sounds like Keith.
Yay. I just got the quick flashback, what I was touching into, that story about hitchhiking and the enormity of what I was going to do with my life. And I've learned, Jesse, that if I just take care of today, that's all I have to do.
Yes.
If I just attend to what's in front of me, whatever it is, walking the dog, taking out the trash, doing it, you know, not even with joy on a good day, I hope, usually it is, but just being present with what's in front of me and stop trying to answer the big question. And I think for a lot of people, what am I going to do with my life? What does God want me to do? God wants you to be present, and God wants you to do what you do, what you want to do, with as much love as you possibly can. And it's really interesting, because I really am, I don't know if I'm in awe of you, but when you first started the program off, I'm saying to myself, she must be reading this from a script, because how can someone speak so flawlessly straight through the first intro? You've got books out, you're traveling, you're doing this and that. It's great. I love it. And a part of me wants to do that. And when I got to healing school in 98, I thought within 3 years I'd have my own school, my own DVD or videos back then. I had all these plans for myself. And it hasn't worked out that way, because my path has been to empty out. And there's a part of me that wants to be out there, and I really... it is coming. I feel like I'm coming out of a chrysalis, to be sure. But there's another part of me that is just so happy being, really for the first time in my life, the clearest I've ever been, the lightest I've ever been. And with all due respect to myself, I don't know if the world needs another book on the sacred anything. On the one hand, it's like, you know, as long as I just live with the presence and a joie de vivre, and seeing it in other people, and being gregarious, and being generous and grateful, you know, this is in and of itself is my soul mission fulfilled. And I think there's that paradox where my power comes from turning it over, and it's through me, not from me, that everything is happening in my life anyway. So I'm in an interesting balance point because I've been living in New York City for a year, and there's a story about that. Lived here 25 years ago, never thought I'd ever come back to New York to live, and a woman that I worked with when I was in Sedona earlier last year had come for a retreat, and I did 2 energy sessions with her and then an absentee long-distance session, an affluent woman on the Upper West Side, and she says, I want you to come to New York. I want you to work with me for 2 weeks. I'm going to introduce you to my friends. And as always in my life, the doors have happened that way, through the grace of somebody else inviting me through it. And, of course, I had to take the jump and take the leap and come to New York and all of that. But now that I'm living upstate and riding in the woods in a very, very lovely home, you know, part of me is just really happy doing whatever I'm doing. And a part of me wants to be a little more ambitious, you know, a little more. It's not that I'm envious of you or jealous of you. I'm admiring you and your drive. And you are producing. You are getting out there. You're going to go to Santa Barbara in the spring. And you're meeting people and you're going to the Matriarch. I want to hear about that festival that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's carrying me along in a way that is really magical. So I don't know what's happening after the book. It's going to happen as it has. It's not in my control. I'm just showing up today. And it all comes from this. It all comes from this. So, I want to hear about the Matriarch Festival. Can you say something, please?
Yes,
I want to know. I'm prompting you.
Absolutely. The Matriarch
Please.
Gathering is
Please.
Happening in Chimney Rock, Colorado. It's the first weekend of October, the 4th through the 6th, and they're already sold out on the opening ceremonies for the 4th. It is the 5th and the 6th. They have a variety of speakers that will be presenting, and I will be one of the speakers there, speaking on compassion. And the first day of the gathering, on the Saturday the 5th, is a women's only day, and then the second day is co-ed.
Great.
And
wow.
It's very affordable price, at very affordable rates. People can find out more about this at www.thematriarchgathering.com.
Wow.
And I think it's only something like 60 or $75 for 2 days, and it includes breakfast and lunch both days.
Beautiful.
And a dinner on Saturday. So it's very, very affordable with this event, and it's going to be very spiritually founded. It's a very organic, I would say, kind of feel to it, in a very, very beautiful area, very magical.
And this
very
is Durango, no?
It's a little bit west of Durango in Chimney Rock.
Colorado? Oh, okay. Cool. You
so,
know, this is just a little microcosm. It's not about me, Jesse. It's about you. It's about who's ever in front of me. My story is really irrelevant. I mean, it's a lot of good stuff that happened, but it's brought me to the place where it's about you. And that's what has created the magic in my life. And it's really a lovely place to be because I'm not so invested in being famous, being rich, getting, you know, press. I just, you know, I'm just celebrating it. And it's a joy to be on your show and really to hear and feel how well you're doing. And it's really an honor. And I really thank you, especially on your big anniversary, Friday the 13th.
I couldn't have picked a better day, really. When I think about it, I wasn't thinking about it. I was just being in the moment and go, that day. And then it dawned on me later that, that's my one-year anniversary on my show. How perfect to have Keith on there for that show.
Because you reached out for me. You invited me to come on. And I gather that everyone that you've showcased, I should say, has been through the generosity of your willingness, dear. Really great power and service that you're doing. It's great to be able to share this with you.
Well, and it's been a pleasure to have you here. I mean, this has been a wonderful show, and you know, for me, it's been about holding some space to let you come out a little bit and share yourself, and I absolutely love doing that. And I know when I asked you to be on the show, it was you were opening and you were blossoming and you were ready to come out, and I wanted to support that. I wanted to say, yes, this is what he needs to do, because people, it's not, you know, as you say, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about putting this out there for somebody else to connect with and seeing who shows up and draws to it. And and that's why I feel it's so important to bring your work on. And we're wrapping up, so quickly, share where people can stay up on your work, your website, your blog, how they can
contact. As you mentioned, it's awakenthesacred.blogspot.com. I haven't written it in a couple months because I've been really focusing on my book, but you've inspired me to update. awakenhearttantra.com. I'm in the New York area. I travel, have plans to go to Europe. And, yeah, it's all good, you know. It's all good.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
And do check it out, because Keith has got some great things that he's doing, and he's just magical in his energy for healing and helping people transform. So it's been a blessing, Keith. Thank you so much.
Love to you, dear. And love to your relationship and your mom and everything else in your life. Good for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Next week coming on the show, I have Laota Russell, and she's going to be with me. She's a hair healer, as well as doing other types of healing modalities. And we're going to actually be looking at the energetic influence of hair and how it can affect the flow of energy within us. So that is going to be a really interesting show. She's got some very unique things that she works with and talks about in relation to that. Again, we've talked about my next set of books are just about ready to come out practically literally any day. I'm that close to it. And very excited to be bringing that work to you, talking about the masculine, feminine energies and our dynamics in relationships. And I'm putting together the next Compassion Tour for 2014. As I mentioned, that will be starting in the Santa Barbara region. It'll be starting with a taping for Heaven, Bridging Heaven and Earth. And that is something that people can attend the live taping if they want to. They can come into the studio and see the show being taped. So if you have an interest in doing that, you can do so. And if you'd like to find out more about the work I'm doing with Compassion or connect with me, you can check out my blog, products, services, all those things. Find ways to connect with me, listen to archive shows, see upcoming shows, see video tips. All that great stuff is on my website, which you can find at jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com. There's a whole section there for Main Street Universe, where you can follow all of our hosts and catch upcoming shows as well as the archived shows, learn a little bit about everybody. And the special I've got running right now for the month of September is where you can get pay for two of my online courses and get a third one for free. So if you'd like to find out more about that, you can go and check out all the courses available through learnitlive.com/invite/JessieAnnNicholsGeorge. And then on my webpage as well, on the homepage right there, you'll find more about that special, so you can check that out. And that incorporates working with cycles and moon aspects. I've got a full moon ceremony coming up next week with that, and an autumn equinox celebration coming up as well in those courses. And I'm doing a series on the chakras right now. So even if you've missed a course, you can go back and catch them and still catch them as a recording, which is great. Don't forget, we've got several shows here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Sunday nights, we have Darren Bucaire, who's a reader at Madame Louveau in New Orleans, doing spiritual insights. Monday nights is Kevin Baird walking on the sidewalk with his Horizon Oracle Journeys deck, a deck that he created. You can learn more about that at his website, templeofgaia.com. Tuesdays is Susan Weed, who's sharing her work in herbs and natural plants. Wednesday nights we have Daniel, Janice, and Brett on our flagship show, Main Street Universe. Thursday nights we have Queen Mother Amaku delving into the Egyptian culture. And, of course, Friday nights right here, Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. This is Jesse Ann Nichols, George. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. I really look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into Activating Compassion. And don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show this evening, to share it with your friends. It's going to be available right here at the same link in our archives. And I'm going to leave you with the song tonight, Yearning For, also by Shem Shai. And again, thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing week.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind, and to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with season of change inside. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Oh, deep inside, the light within, shining to show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar to the edge of eternity. And we see it eye to eye, one within love to be for the divine. And we're walking hand in hand, caught in the balance of God and man. Over and over, life is your lover, learning to walk just a little bit slower. Whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we reveal it. Once you are another, all will discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning for. Over and over.
love is still burning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart is still yearning for over and over. Life is your lover, learning.